This is Amy Lemley, and I think we'll go ahead and get started today's monthly THP Plus conference call. I think we have a few new people joining us this month, and just to let you know what this is, it's a monthly call that is organized by the John Burton Foundation. It's open to anyone who'd like to participate. We have most people on the call are either THP Plus or THP Plus foster care providers or county representatives, and our goal of the call is to bring this community together that's worked very hard to create and expand these programs, to share any policy developments that have occurred, provide the latest information, and also answer questions, and if we can't answer questions, to try and pursue the answer of them by asking different counties or DSS. So that is the purpose of the call today, and again, we always appreciate your time. We know you've got a lot to do. You've got the real work of serving young people. So we'll try and make it as useful as possible. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to start by just focusing on THP Plus foster care, looking at the number of providers, looking at the growth in the number of youth. We have a new report on how many young people are in THP Plus foster care. Discuss the retroactive rate increase, that there is an all-county letter released about that. And then a brief update on the educational requirements for case managers in THP Plus foster care. Then I'm going to turn it over to Simone, who is going to lay out a kind of a wait list capacity chart that we've developed recently to try and promote full utilization of THP Plus. And then we'll close out the call with some discussion about what future topics will be, as well as some announcements on the state budget and some kind of political developments that may be of interest. So with that, I want to just jump right in, and let's look at the number of providers. So here you have it. This is the total number of THP Plus foster care providers. The all-county letter that kind of gave the instructions about how to proceed was released, as you can see, in October 2012. We've had, you know, pretty steady growth. And in the last couple months of last year, it remained somewhat flat. And, you know, that's, you know, probably due to a lot of different reasons, including just, frankly, the holiday slowdown, which is a very real effect. And so these are each individual THP Plus programs. And so just to kind of tease that out, THP Plus foster care, excuse me, some of these programs are very big and operate in multiple jurisdictions. And some of them are very small and operate in one. So that is what this count is. It is each individual THP Plus foster care program. So let's look at where these different programs are. And this is a slide you've seen before, and we're going to keep updating. And so what this is the individual programs around the state. And so, for example, you know, the program we know and love very dearly, Aspirinet, is located in many different jurisdictions. And so an Aspirinet program is represented multiple times on this map versus on the previous slide, it is one program. And so the idea here is to start to step back and say, are we beginning to see more saturation of THP Plus foster care around the state? Where is it missing? Where are we beginning to see more providers? And the two kind of red X's are, to the best of our knowledge, and, you know, there's always possible that, you know, this was recently approved, the two counties that have a high number of non-minor dependents that to date don't have a THP Plus foster care program resident in their county. Now, of course, that doesn't mean they're not placing youth in THP Plus foster care. They certainly could be. Is there a program resident in the county, which, you know, obviously increases the odds that young people are going to be placed there. And so there are efforts underway in both of these counties, and it's likely by our next call there will be THP Plus foster care programs there. So it's exciting to see this build around the state, and it's really because of the hard work of everyone on this call. And we appreciate it. We know it's not a simple process to get a license, and it's certainly not a simple process to actually serve youth well. And so you should all take a moment to congratulate everything yourselves for what you've done over this last year. So good job. So now let's look at the number of youth in THP Plus foster care. And I'm extremely happy to report, you know, we're always about 3 months behind. And this information is from CWS CMS, which is uploaded into the UC Berkeley archive that archives all of our information. So we're not quite at real time. But as of October 1st, 2013, we have 460 young people who are placed in THP plus foster care. And so that's a whopping 54% growth from July 1st. So, you know, we saw how those providers really ticked up, and we're really seeing the placements tick up. So this is just what we want. You know, we want, you know, this to be a viable, available option to meet the diverse needs of young people. And so it's exciting. So, again, great job. And if we can keep up this rate of growth, we're going to see about 2,600 non-minor dependents placed in THP plus foster care by next October. Now, whether that pace of growth will continue is to be determined. But, you know, there's a lot of providers that are in the approval and licensing process. And then there are many providers that are licensed but are really getting their sea legs and don't aren't at full capacity. So, you know, we'll just continue to watch and think about these numbers, and hopefully they'll keep this really positive upward trajectory. So we in concert with this, regularly update you on other placement options. So in the context of this, you know, SILPs, the Supervised Independent Living Placement, they do continue to be the most prevalent placement for our 18 to 20-year-olds, as we call them, non-minor dependents. And there on the slide, you have the number of how many young people are in SILPs, which is about one out of three non-minor dependents in care. And it'll be interesting to see if this, how this figure changes, if it changes. I think it's really all to be determined. We hear anecdotally young people are very interested in THP+, but at the same time, the SILP is a very attractive option as well. So that is who is in THP+. Now we're going to look at what counties are placing youth in THP+. So before I go to that slide, I just want to make sure that I'm being clear. This is different than where providers are located. This is counties, this is young people from this county. How many young people from a particular county are placed in THP+. And so, well, THP+ foster care. I'm sorry, I keep leaving out the foster care part. How many young people from different counties are placed in THP plus foster care. And here you have that slide. And again, this is a slide that we have shown before. And I want to say a few different things about it. One is it's clear that THP plus foster care is up and running in Alameda County. I mean, it is really almost three times more young people from Alameda County are in THP plus foster care than any other county, which isn't terribly surprising. I mean, Alameda County was a leader in the implementation of THP+, but yet this level of placement is really off the charts. So if you kind of tick down through the rest of the counties, you'll see, you know, we're getting really good numbers at different counties in terms of young people from that county participating in THP plus foster care. And then, you know, in some ways, these numbers don't tell the whole story, because what the additional information we need to know is how many want to be in THP plus foster care, and also how many young people are in foster care. So it means a lot. It means something quite different for Del Norte to have a small number of young people in foster THP plus foster care than it does, for example, a Los Angeles County. But we definitely recognize that, you know, the program is at different stages of implementation around the state. And we would really expect in the next quarter or two quarters, as we revisit this, to see these numbers changing. But this is where we stand as of October 1st, 2013. Now, the second thing I want to say about this chart is if you're a county representative, and this is what happened the last time we showed it, their county did not show up. And they said, we know that we're placing young people in THP plus foster care. So there's always potential for data error. And so the question is, are they being somehow categorized correctly in CWS CMS? And so the information that is archived at the UC Berkeley website is only as accurate as the information they get. So if you are from a county and you know for a fact that your county is placing young people in THP plus foster care, please take the time to do some research and to figure that out, because we want to have an accurate sense of how utilized this placement is or is not. So that's where we're at. So let's look at those 460 young people and learn a little bit about them and who they are and what they're up to. So here we have the 460 young people, and we can kind of break them out by, are they child welfare youth or are they juvenile probation youth? This, they're overwhelmingly, as you can see, from child welfare, so dependents rather than delinquents. And you know, this data is a little bit different, frankly, than the data we got on our annual report. The annual report data that we collected suggested that there was a higher rate of participation among youth in juvenile probation, which we were really excited about, because it's a great placement for those young people. But this is as of October 1st. Now, traditionally, some would suggest that the delinquency or the juvenile probation data in the database is not as reliable as the child welfare data. I think that we want to realize that that could be a factor. But let's stop here for a minute, and a few people have some questions, and let's see if we can have them chime in and say what they'd like to say. One is Josh. So Josh, I see that you have a question, and let me empower you digitally so that you can make your comment and ask a question that probably others have as well. Okay, so I think maybe he didn't, his hand is not raised anymore. So let's keep going. So let's look at child welfare. The next one is, are the sex of the young people? So are they male, female? And here we have, you know, almost 2 out of 3 are young women, and one, you know, a little bit less, and 1 out of 3 are young men. This is consistent with THP plus. It is not consistent with the population of older youth in foster care generally. So when I look at this data, I start to get curious about, how many of these young women are young parents? We don't have that information at this time. Hopefully, with the implementation of SB 528, we will be able to know the number of young parents by placement. But this would make me curious about whether some of the young people in this placement are parents. Now we're going to take a question from Sherry Flores. And if anyone else has a question, feel free to press that, raise your hand, and we'll unmute you, and you can chime into the conversation. Okay, Sherry. Okay, so Sherry may have, maybe we answered her question. That would be great. But if you have it again, just raise that virtual hand, and we will unmute you. Now let's look at the race ethnicity of the people in THP plus foster care. It is about pretty much evenly divided, not really, about 37% African American, 31% white, 29% Latino, a very small number of Asian Pacific Islanders, and then Native American youth. For this presentation today, we didn't contrast that to the population, the larger population of 18 to 21-year-olds, but we can do that in the future so that we can have a sense of who is finding their way to this placement and who isn't, and are there any kind of trends there in regards to race or ethnicity. But this at least lets you know kind of the profile of the young people who are in THP Plus foster care. So that is our snapshot. Again, it is just a snapshot. It's nothing more than a snapshot. It's as of October 1st, 2013. Let's pause here for a minute and see if anyone has any questions. So hang on one second. Okay, well, we do have some questions, maybe not kind of totally related related to this information, but we will answer them. They're good questions. They have a really kind of good point behind them, but we're just going to stick with the kind of content we've got, and we'll take it from there. So if you have questions later on, please feel free to chime in. So next we're going to talk about the THP Plus foster care rate. You know, for those of you who get our weekly newsletter, this isn't news, but if you don't get it, there was an all-county letter that was released at the end of November, and with great news, which is the THP Plus foster care rate is getting a 2.65% increase retroactive to July 1st, 2013. So on the chart, you see what the different rates are for the single site, the remote site, and the host family. And you know, I'm sure those of you who are licensed providers, you're probably kind of working this all out retroactive till July 1st. But those are the numbers for you. And so it's exciting to see that rate increase go into place because, as we all know, the cost of housing is very high, and it's extremely, even though these numbers may look big, hard to pull this program off in different parts of the state as the cost of housing goes up and up and up. Okay. All right, so we do have one question. Hang on a second. Okay, so this is a good question. Someone asked, what about counties where there aren't any young people participating in THP Plus foster care? Does a county have to place in THP Plus foster care? And the answer is, the young people, you know, there's no legal entitlement to THP Plus foster care. There is a legal entitlement to foster care. And so a county, in the end of the day, it's the discretion of the county about what is the best placement. And I think almost everyone out there knows that those kind of decisions for older youth are made in cooperation with the young person. But you're not legally entitled to say, I want a THP Plus foster care placement. However, you are entitled to, if you're not provided one, to go through a grievance process at the county level. There may be the decision on the part of some counties that they won't have any THP, they won't place young people in THP Plus foster care. That's not what we're hearing, though. Kind of what we're hearing more is that it is a process for licensing for the provider. It's a process for getting different people familiar with the program, what it offers, how youth can most benefit from it. And so we haven't really heard anywhere that there's resistance to it as a placement, more just the normal lag time that is to be expected from a brand new placement that has a pretty rigorous licensing process, and frankly, as it should, because these are public funds that are being used, and so counties need to know that these funds are going to high quality providers that are accountable and that are providing exactly what they're supposed to be providing. And I know as a provider, it might feel like, well, of course we're going to, but there is that tension, and the public sector is accountable for ensuring that. And so that's, I think, more of what the lack of providers in some counties is, rather than a policy statement that that they don't support this rate, that they must provide it. Now, that being said, and this point is being raised by another person, young people, you could, are certainly welcome to request it. And, you know, in California, we have 58 counties, and most counties have a THP Plus program. And these are young adults, THP Plus foster care program. These are young adults, 18 to 21, and so they could be going to community college in a county that has a program. And so I think one of the reasons why on our website we organize the THP Plus foster care list by where the programs are physically located is so that you, as county representatives, as people doing placements, as social workers, so that you can know when you're talking to young people where the programs are physically located. So that if a young person has an interest in it and maybe your county doesn't have one, that you can work with that young people to be placed in a program in a different county. And that's the real you know, strength of having programs that are licensed by the state. You as a county have access to the full range of THP Plus programs that are out there, and you know that they have passed that level of approval. So I think with that, I'm going to turn it over to Simone, and Simone's going to talk about THP Plus and a new development that occurred after our THP Plus Institute last month. So take it over, Simone.
Hi, everybody. I hope everyone's having a great new year and staying healthy. So as Amy mentioned, and as you guys know, last month we had in December our THP Plus Advocacy Institute for Providers. And just to, I know it's very confusing, THP Plus, THP Plus Foster Care. That's why I keep saying, Amy, remember to say THP Plus Foster Care, because it is confusing with the very similar names. So just to clarify, we are now moving on to THP Plus, the program for former foster and probation youth, the youth that have aged out of care or who have exited care. So THP Plus. So yes, last month we had the THP Plus Advocacy Institute. There were a lot of providers with some really great ideas and some good discussion. And so we were at one point discussing the temporary lull that some providers, THP Plus providers, were experiencing in referrals due to extended foster care participation that we've also discussed on previous calls. And we know that these referrals will pick back up next year when the first full cohort of youth age out of foster care at 21. But we also know that in the interim, there is still considerable demand for THP Plus. There are not open beds because there's a lack of need. That's definitely a misconception. We know just from annual report data that as of July 1st, 2013, 1,351 youth were being served by THP Plus, which according to the CWS-CMS data that Amy was talking about earlier, when you look at that data on youth exiting foster care and do a little math, it means that there are 2,775 eligible former foster youth that are without housing assistance. So we also know based on the annual report that some providers are finding themselves serving older, increasingly at-risk youth that are in need of housing, but we also know that these are harder to reach youth. It's a challenge to sometimes find them because these are the youth who have actually exited foster care and have likely experienced homelessness or are currently homeless. You know, they're not coming straight from foster care. So, you know, in discussing how to access these youth in need of housing, some providers at the Institute had a really good idea, which was to create a statewide sort of tracker of what providers do have these open beds and what providers actually have waiting lists, because clearly not all THP Plus providers actually have open beds. And in fact, in doing a little research, we found that the number of open beds is literally almost equal to the number of youth on waiting lists as far as what's been reported to us. And so as you see here, so far we have 21 providers that have reported open beds to us and 11 providers that are reporting waiting lists, but this equals basically a total of 89 open beds and 87 youth in need of housing. So that was interesting. And since 10% or more of a county's THP Plus budget, you know, can't be used on other programs unless there's a publicly recognized vote of the Board of Supervisors, this opportunity allows counties with open THP Plus beds to help ensure that youth in need of housing are served across the state. And, you know, taking in youth on other providers' waiting lists when you have open beds ensures that you're using this THP Plus funding, and more importantly, you know, it provides housing for youth who need it. And, you know, some providers already do this within their county, which is very smart. But, you know, there's also just the concept of taking this up a notch or two. So thinking about this on a regional basis, or even a statewide basis, you know, some providers have said, hey, I'll pay for a train ticket, you know, to get a youth into my program if they need housing. And this may not be available to all providers may not be offering this, but there are, you know, these types of opportunities available, especially when you look at the list. Amy, you could advance the next slide. When you look at this list we have and kind of look at providers that are near you that may, if you have open beds, may have a waiting list or vice versa. And so this chart basically came out of a very short, like, two-question survey that I sent out in December, as many of you know, and simply asking for all THP Plus providers to tell us if they have open beds or if they have a wait list or if they're just at capacity. So this is, in summary, what we've received since mid-December from THP Plus providers. Now, if there's been changes since that time, they're not going to necessarily be reflected on this list, but this shows data that's basically over the span of maybe a little less than a month. And so what we're going to be doing is sending out a request to THP Plus providers on a quarterly basis, asking them, you know, to report, again, their vacancies and or their waiting lists. However, we know that the chart's only going to be, you know, as useful as we make it. So if there are changes to this list in the meantime, so if the person from, you know, Redwood Community Action Agency notices that their waiting list has gone down or up, if they email me that information, I will update it real time. But I'm obviously not going to send the survey out on a daily basis, so I will send it out quarterly so we at least will know that it's updated quarterly. And so the capacity chart is a great way for providers to, you know, connect with one another, or for counties to connect with providers from other counties. And so this is just a snippet of the chart, but on the THP Plus website, and Amy, you can advance the next slide, the full chart is available. And that's the link directly to the chart. And the chart on the website actually has a contact person for each provider. So it'll say a name and an email and a phone number that you can, so you can connect them, or excuse me, contact them directly. So, you know, like I said, we've heard back from about 32 providers, and that's out of 57. So, you know, if you didn't see yourself reflected on that list and you have a waiting list or you have bed vacancies, please go ahead and complete the SurveyMonkey link. It's really it's a really short little survey. It's like two questions. It takes you less than a minute. And I will definitely update that list, and it'll be reflected on the THP Plus site.
Thanks, Simone. I just want to add a comment about, you know, I think it's knowing that we have 87 young people who are homeless and need housing, and knowing we have 89 open beds is exciting, and maybe we can make those connections. And so our first priority, of course, is getting young people off the street into safe, affordable housing with supportive services. And a second, you know, kind of really important reason to bring those numbers of wait lists, the number of vacancies down, is, as we talked about at the Institute, it's a stronger position in terms of protecting THP Plus to have a program that is bursting at the seams. It's very hard in a budgeting context to say, no, it's really important that we don't cut this program, and in fact, we even expand it when there are vacancies. And so it's about meeting the needs of young people today and ensuring that this program is around to meet the needs of young people for a very long time. So once Simone did this survey, we also saw that there are many counties that have within the same county. There's one that has a wait list, and then there's one that has a vacancy. And so she did some intelligence gathering and said, well, you know, this is interesting. What's going on here? And I think what she learned is that sometimes programs with vacancies are going to need to step up their marketing. There could be long-held perceptions about programs like, oh, they cater to this group or they cater to that group. And in the past, there's been such an over-demand for the program that we didn't necessarily need to kind of, show all of our bells and whistles. But that may be the case to kind of make sure that the current information about your program is accurate so that they know all you have to offer, because there's a lot there. I mean, most importantly, safe, affordable housing. So I'll leave it with that. I think we have a few questions. It looks like Simone answered it. And, again, please visit the website and keep Simone updated. She's very, very good at staying on top of this stuff. And again, this could be a very useful tool for us if we make it fun.
I just want to say I'm seeing that people are continuing to raise their hands, which we're really excited about because we do want to unmute people and allow this to be more like a phone call than a webinar. But the problem is everyone who's raising their hands is using their computer speakers. And when you're using your computer speakers, we actually can't hear you talk to us. So I see Sharon Cromarty has her hand up. So Sharon, for example, if you'd like to – oh, and she just took it down. Okay, but in the future, if you guys want to raise your hands, you have to call in. Using the telephone, and then what we'll do is unmute you, and then you can speak. So just a little disclaimer there.
And we'll make sure that those instructions are included with the next call, because the downside of this format is less interactivity. But there's a huge upside, and we have 55 people on the call, and doing a conference call with 55 people, it just takes one person in a car with their window down to kind of ruin it for everyone. All right, back to Simone. She's going to kind of talk about future calls, and then I'm going to wrap up the call with just some announcements about some political stuff.
All right, so Amy, you want to advance to the next slide? Thank you. Okay, so I know that many of you have been on these calls since their inception, and we, for a while, I think it was last year, the beginning and middle of the year, I recall, we were kind of featuring different practice topics or policy topics on each call, and we'd have, a guest speaker, and we'd have discussion, and we kind of stopped doing that a little bit, but we'd like to pick that back up. We really want input about what you guys want to talk about. Obviously, we want to make sure that these calls are worth your time and that they're productive. And so we'd like input on what topics are of interest to you. So what we're going to do is just launch a quick poll on upcoming practice topics. And there's only five options that you can choose from, but you can choose as many options as you'd like of things that interest you. But if you don't see something on there of interest, please either type it into your questions box in your panel now or go ahead and email me at a later date, simone@johnburtonfoundation.org. So as you see, I'm hoping it's showing up for everybody, which practice topics are you most interested in exploring on future calls? Again, you can choose all topics that you're interested in. The first topic is drug and or alcohol use amongst participants, and that could be discussed for both THP Plus and THP Plus foster care, obviously. Rent practices and policies, which we have discussed, but we know it's a hot topic for THP Plus foster care. And then roommate practices and policies for both programs. And again, that's something we have covered, but there may be additional interest in it. Improving participant employment outcomes. We know that's a big challenge for folks in both programs. And then lastly, participant educational retention. So it looks like people are voting. We're going to just give it a couple more seconds, and then we're going to show the results. And this is very exciting so far, kind of seeing what's winning here. It's interesting. And I think I'm going to close the poll now, so get your last votes in. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And I'm going to close it. Okay. And then I'm going to share it, and there we go. So it looks like people are definitely interested. Yeah, that's a challenge. Drug and alcohol use amongst participants, definitely a challenge. And we know that this largely comes out of youth that smoke marijuana, and It's a big challenge in California, kind of how to handle that in our program. So that's something people are interested in. They're also interested, oh, actually, this fourth one's such a light color, I didn't notice that that actually got a higher percentage. Improving participant employment outcomes, yep, okay. So it looks like there is interest in all topics. We'll kind of go with the top two first and then maybe work our way down throughout the year. So thank you so much for your input on that. And I am going to, oh, there we go, just remind you all that our next call is February 13th, and then I'm going to pass it back over to Amy for some closing remarks.
All right. And thank you for those of you who are sending suggestions and through the questions, and you can keep doing that. And you know what we do a lot of informally is we get a lot of requests for information, and we just kind of broker the information independently. So sometimes it's not a full-blown training, but if you ask a question, we can say, well, here's a provider that does something. So even if it's not a full-blown training, we'll do what we can. So I thought, you know, why not take a minute to just share some information generally? So that's what this is. I just wanted to kind of let you know kind of where we are kind of in the political world. And so I'm sure you all know we have a two-year session in the state legislature. The state legislature is back in session, and they're ready and raring to go on the second year of a two-year session. So, you know, our longtime leaders in the legislature, John Perez, the Speaker of the Assembly, and Daryl Steinberg, the President Pro Tem, they'll both be termed out this year. So that's big. They've been champions, particularly Daryl Steinberg, on the issue of children and youth in foster care. They're going to have, you know, I'm sure, some type of big proposals that they want to see go get across the finish line in their last years in the legislature. So that's just to share that with you. Next, today, the governor's budget came out. I think it was leaked. It was, I think it came out a little bit earlier than it was supposed to, but it is. It's out. It's all the buzz today everywhere around the state. I haven't analyzed it, and I'm going to be on a call later. What's important for this community to know is that THP Plus isn't, or THP Plus foster care is not any part of it. You know, child welfare has been realigned, as you all know, and so it actually isn't in the budget document, which is pretty fascinating. In some ways, it's great because it protects us from any cuts. In some ways, it's not great because it kind of prevents, if there's more money, which there certainly is this year, from a big new investment. So there's pros and cons, but if you're kind of waiting for an analysis of the state budget as it pertains to child welfare, that won't be forthcoming. Next, but related to this, is based on this information, counties are ramping up their budget development. I mean, anyone who works for a county knows that the budget is never a never-ending process, but starting in January, many counties began their process really engaging with the public in an effort to get it all, you know, kind of finished by the July 1st fiscal year. So if you are a county representative or a THP Plus provider, now is the time to march in to that process, find a way in to make your case, if not for expanding THP Plus, because there is growth in sales and use tax revenue for realignment, then at least to sustain it. You know, don't think someone else is carrying your water. Don't think someone else is taking care of this, because they're not. It's really a county-by-county effort. And so, you know, get involved in your county budget process in some way. Next, I just want to share that here at JBF, we are continuing to work on a THP Plus statewide rate. So that's been on the back burner for some time. There's a work group convened, and their higher priority has been THPP, which is, as you know, a placement for 16 to 18-year-olds. But we are continuing to emphasize the importance of a statewide rate, and just want you to know that that is a priority for John Burton Foundation in 2014, and we may need to draw on many, if not all of you, to help make that case and explain why that's important. Next, I just wanted to share that we're going to be sponsoring a bill on post-secondary education. And so you all know, I'm sure, that we're a lot better at getting young people enrolled in community college than we are in having them actually achieve an academic outcome. And in that respect, we are not unique. This is actually something that is quite common. But we're working on a bill that would be for foster youth entering community college that would support their retention. And, you know, we know that housing, employment, and education are all, you know, the three legs of the self-sufficiency stool. And so we hope that you will partner with us as we work on this bill, which we're really excited about. And last is we had a very well-attended web seminar in November. You know, we really see from the data presented today that, you know, while we thought we were serving more youth in juvenile probation, it kind of turns out we aren't. And so they're a very, very needy group. They're entitled to the same benefits in extended foster care as young people from child welfare. And so if you want a little primer on how, on serving young people from juvenile probation, check out that web seminar. It's recorded, and you know, we're happy to offer any support or assistance in answering questions, because I personally, you know, really up until a couple years ago, didn't understand almost anything about, I mean, that group. And it's been a real education for me, and it's been, it's really motivated me to try and make sure that everything we provide to youth in child welfare, our juvenile probation youth also have access to. And so that's what we have for you today. So thank you again for taking the time to be on the call, and we will talk to you next month, if not before. So that concludes today's conference call. Thanks again. Have a good day.